Right, I was talking at the top of the show there about our little visit to Howick Hall, and we've just been out and about, myself and Tom Pattinson, a co-presenter on the programme, and here's a little taster of where we've been this afternoon, and looking at a particular phenomena of Northumberland, and in a brilliant setting at Howick Hall. Tell us a bit more, Tom.
Well, we're actually standing way off beyond the wall. I can hear the stream in the background. I'm standing amongst mature sycamore and beech. They still haven't developed their new leaves, of course. I'm looking around the woodland floor, and it's a mass of white, rising above last year's leaves. There'll be some lovely leaf mould here, I'd guess. But what a beautiful sight. White as far as the eye can see. I thought I'd finished with white for this year with the snow, but I'll take this white any time.
No, it's a carpet of white at Howick Hall. That's Tom Pattinson, and we'll have much more. We'll be looking at a bit of the history of the hall and telling you all about this particular type of snowdrop, which is unique to Northumberland, and it is absolutely so cute. It's lovely. Quite different to ordinary snowdrops, and we'll tell you more about that in a few ticks. So, as I mentioned earlier, Tom Pattinson and myself have been up to Howick Hall this morning to see one of the wonders of Northumberland, has to be said. I have not had the privilege before of going up to the gardens ever, actually. I've never gone up, and I'm very happy to say I've now been there, and I'm going to have to go back. And we only just touched part of the gardens. There is so much there, and we're talking about this for a reason, because Howick Hall Gardens open this weekend, and of course other gardens are also open if you check the local listings. But it's a particularly special weekend because the snowdrops, I'm telling you, they are out and they look magnificent. So let's have a little flavour of Howick Hall and hear a bit from Tom Pattinson, who was talking to the head gardener there, Robert Jameson, at Howick Hall.
We're in one of my favourite gardens, North Northumberland Coast. And in keeping with other gardens around the country at this time, they're having their snowdrop festival. And this one is really special, because I think it's the best. Other people think that as well, because in recent times it's been voted one in the top 5 coastal gardens in the country, in the top 10 gardens to visit in spring. So everybody seems to be giving a claim to Howick, and rightly so. I have with me this morning, actually, old friend Robert Jameson, who's head gardener here, and he should know all about it. Welcome, Robert.
Hello, Tom. Welcome to Howick once again. Nice to see
you. This is a lovely display. Robert, on route to these snowdrops that you're going to show me at the moment, shortly, en route to them, we've just passed the most beautiful shrub, this yellow witch hazel here. It's gorgeous. Which one is this?
This is Hamamelis mollis pallida, which is like the pale yellow form of it. And it is making a good show just now, and it'll last for about six weeks probably. And it gives an extra dimension to the garden when you've got the snowdrops as well.
I just love the fact that you're putting these extra things in. People will say, we're going to through the woodland at Howick, and we're going to see the snowdrops. If they pick up things like this, they're going to be overjoyed by it. This is a beautiful sight. It's really at its best. This is a real wow factor. What height would you call that, Robert?
It's about 3.5 metres, probably, and it spreads about 4 or 5 metres as well.
And how long's that been in there, approximately?
That's probably been in since the 1970s, roughly. So about 40 years.
So if people are putting out quite a lot of money to buy one of these to see in the garden centre, what would be your advice to them? I mean, obviously it's going to last for 30, 40-odd years, so it's worth the outlay. What would be your advice to them in terms of planting?
Well, you want to buy a reasonably small plant. I mean, they will start flowering from a plant about 1.5 to 2 metres tall quite happily. So you want to buy something small, not a big plant. And this one is quite a big specimen, but it takes a long time to get that. So it's ideal even for a smaller garden.
Lovely. Can we walk on these snowdrops now?
Certainly can.
Okay. We're on the church bridge now, going down towards the church, and you can probably hear the Howick Burn running down as it does towards the sea, and that's a beautiful walk down there, isn't it, Robert?
It is. The walk from the house down to the sea is a mile and a half down through the valley, and that's where the main bit of the Arboretum is, the East Arboretum. So you can have a nice pleasant walk down through different countries of the world as you head down there.
Can we just get on to the Arboretum for a minute, because it was fantastic about nearly 3 years ago now. Roy Lancaster, who's done some plant hunting abroad with his lordship and so on over the years, he was up to open the new Arboretum, wasn't he?
Yes, he came in 2005 and opened the Arboretum, and that was the start of things. We'd been planting it since 1984. But it was when we thought that it was good for the public to see it. They'd always been able to walk down there, but there hadn't been any interpretation, any signs or anything like that, or any labels on the plants. So that was the time we thought it was good for them to see. And as I say, we'd now got 65 acres planted down there. There's over 12,000 trees, and the majority of them have been collected by ourselves or from different botanic gardens, with Index Seminums, getting the seed from them.
So one of the big differences about people coming to the Snowdrop Festival here and other parts of the country, many of these trees, indeed maybe most of them, have been resourced as seeds from abroad, brought on by yourself and growing here now.
Yeah, the majority of them in the Arboretum. The old trees around the house have been here for years, obviously. But all the new plantings are from wild-collected seed and then grown on.
And you have the West Arboretum to the west of the house, of course, and the East Arboretum going down towards the sea.
Yeah, the West Arboretum's a smaller bit, and that's close to the main bit of the garden. It's really accessible for visitors, whereas the main bit of the Arboretum's a bit more of a hike. And as I say, we have three routes down there. The blue route's a mile and a half to go around that. The yellow route's about 2.5 miles. And if you do the red route, it's just over 3 miles. So it's quite a hike for some people down there, but whereas the West Arboretum gives you a taster of what we're doing in a fairly small area.
Yeah, I do recall the last time I walked through there with you, the East Arboretum, it was like walking around the world. It's like a map of the world with the different countries, the places you found the different seeds. Yeah. And the West, to me, correct me if I'm wrong, seemed to be the Sichuan province and other things up there from China.
Yeah, the West Arboretum is mostly Chinese plants that are in there, and they're also some of the more showy plants in there. Whereas in the main bit of the Arboretum, we plant in geographic regions. So as you say, if you start from where we are here now, you go through northwest India for the first bit, then into China, then into Japan, then through Taiwan and North America, and then back up through China and through Japan again to get back to the house.
And I think there's another thing lots of people don't realise about you. For years, Lord Howick came back from his travels, he gave you the rucksacks and said, the seeds are in there, can you germinate them for me, get them growing? And then just a few years ago, you were quite excited, I think, because he said, next year it's your turn. And you went off, didn't you, to China?
Yeah, that's it. Lord Howick collected from 84 up until 2003. And then from 2003, I've been doing the collecting. So I've been to China and to Japan and to North America.
It is notable amongst your friends, by the way. I'll let you into a little secret, folks. We get together with another group of people, Jimmy Givens and company, to go in the Cheeviots walking. They're keeping tabs on them when they're in the woodland. The Greys, I've had experience of them when I've been out Northumbrian bloom judging over Gateshead and beyond the Tyne. And they're really cheeky and they won't run away. They're bold as brass. And gosh, we don't want them invading Northumberland, do we?
No, well, unfortunately, the grey one we've got isn't as bold as brass and keeps hiding as well, but we hope that he shows himself a bit more. But the red ones, as you say, as you're going round, you can walk round, and often you don't see them. Quite often when I'm walking with my dogs, you see that the dogs look up the tree and you find them from there.
That's a lovely reminder in the background that this is a working estate and it can't all be peaceful and joyful beside the water.
No, I mean, we're busy tidying up the leaves, sorting that sort of thing. Normally we would have that done before Christmas time, but with the snow being here for almost a month, we're a bit behind on those sort of jobs at the minute.
And was there much damage in the woodland area?
We had quite a lot of damage on some of the big rhododendrons. We had several of them that came over with the weight of snow. But thankfully, we've been able to hoist them back up again, and they're okay. We've lost one or two trees, We've got a big space in the woodland garden, but we've got also got some big rhododendrons that need moved, so they'll come in to fill that space. So once the visitors come, they'll hardly notice the difference.
Business as usual. Come on, let's go and see these snowdrops.
Right.
Well, we're down by the beautiful church now, and I can just hear the Howick Burn in the background, and you'll hear the odd bird in the background also. And it's so peaceful here. This weekend, I reckon, there'll be hundreds, maybe thousands of people, and the next 3 or 4 weeks will be coming round here, shouting ooh and ah. And they're just coming up now beautifully, the snowdrops. And I'm already looking and trying to count how many there are here, Robert, because, like me, you probably saw in the Gardener RHS magazine this month, this place down in Berkshire, and they've said that they reckon they've got 300 bulbs per square metre, and they've got 7 acres of them, so they reckon they've got 10 million snowdrops on display, and I'm sure we can beat that here at Howick.
I would have thought we could beat it here. We've got it over a bigger area than that, and there's a good mass of them. We go for the mass of snowdrops rather than lots and lots of different varieties. I mean, I'm sceptical about some of the varieties of snowdrops in that there's that little difference between one to another that it's hard to say that they are distinct. I mean, basically here we've got the ordinary single snowdrop, Galanthus nivalis, which is the main one that grows around the estate. And there's also the double one. And then we also have the yellow Northumbrian snowdrop as well, which it doesn't appear in drifts, it just appears in clumps here and there. And once you've seen one clump, you'll pick them out as you're looking through a drift. But at first, people come wander around and say, oh, we never saw any. But they are here when you know where to look.
Yes, there's this has always fascinated me. It must be well over 30 years ago when I was very young. And I went to a garden with Annie Garden Club near Glororum, around Belford area. And I'd heard that North Northumberland had a special snowdrop. And I think it was Diana Pugh Aitchison went to her garden. And she was an enthusiast. And she showed me one. And I thought, wow, that's brilliant. But I've seen it here since then. And some people call it the Thumbrian, the North Northumberland yellow. Some call it Sandersii. Some even call it luteus. But others call it the Howick yellow because it does occur here, doesn't it? But you've got to work really hard to find it.
Yes, you've got to be on the ball and looking good for it. I mean, you can see it reasonably well. As I say, once you've seen one clump, you know what you're looking for. But if you're looking through a drift, the leaves are slightly lighter colour, and as they get a bit older, they do turn almost a yellowy colour, and all the markings in the snowdrops are yellow rather than green, and you can pick that out from a reasonable distance when you're looking.
And have you made an effort when you've found it to isolate some of them and propagate from it at all, or is that too difficult? It just won't play ball with you.
We have lifted one or two clumps and spread them out, but they're not as good as the ordinary ones that spreading out. They do like to be where they want to be, rather than where you want to put them when you plant them. I mean, we do a lot of planting of snow. We have a lot of snowdrops out with the garden in some of the woodlands and bits like that. And every year we spend 4 weeks with our volunteers planting thousands of snowdrops. We always plant them in the green, so you always plant them when they've got the leaves still on them. Wait till they've just finished flowering and then plant them then. And we're gradually adding to the display all the time.
Very soon after flowering, we all know that they come in the national newspapers, the gardening magazines, buy a bunch of snowdrops in the green, and they don't set you back too much. You know, you would be able to buy the groceries next week if you bought a clump this week, so to speak. But do you see what I saw in the newspapers this week? One had been sold on eBay.
Yes, I saw that. That was quite amazing, the price that somebody was paying for a snowdrop bulb. I mean, if we were selling some of them in here, we'd be worth a fortune.
That's right, £350 apparently, something like that, for one snowdrop bulb. But gosh, it doesn't bear thinking about. But just in case anybody's got a silly idea that can go out and dig snowdrops up and sell them, you have got security here.
Yes, we have people going around all the time, so thankfully we haven't had any occasions with that happening, but we do keep an eye on people when they're going about.
I'm pleased to hear that, Robert. Robert, you know, when we're walking through here, this is just the start of the season for me. I've been on your website and just to check out what you've got laid on for us this year, roughly. But I mean, it starts with this, and then, of course, next big thing up for me is the daffodils. You must have masses of those, and then we'll go on through the bog garden, the arboretum, of course, the silverwood, etc. Could you give us a little taste of what's coming up?
Yeah, I mean, our gardening year, as you say, starts with the snowdrops, and Lady Grey, the wife of the fifth Earl Grey, was the one who planted lots of the bulbs. So she planted lots of snowdrops. She also planted lots of daffodils all around the estate. The estate produced daffodils commercially at one point, and they had fields of daffodils up by the kitchen garden, and they also were planted all around the garden. So we'll get the snowdrops now. We used to close after the snowdrops and then open again in April when the rhododendrons thing started, but now we've planted a lot more crocuses and things like that to fill the gap in March. So we stay open all the time. We open Wednesday through till Sunday. We're closed on a Monday and Tuesday. But we've got the snowdrops now. We've got the crocuses. The woodland garden, there's one or two rhododendrons just starting to come out there now. Hellebores are starting to come out there now. And the silverwood of the woodland garden is the best bit from March, April and into May. And in April time, you've got all the daffodils as well. And then after that, you start to get the spring borders and the borders around the front of the house through the main part of the summer. And the bog garden is always the later bit of the year. Again, that's seed that's collected from the wild. So we collect seeds September, October time. So therefore, it's plants that are flowering later in the year. There's not so many of the spring things in there. So that's basically how our year goes. And then we still stay open into November for autumn colour as well.
Now, there's one thing you haven't mentioned, and it's you're thinking hard, aren't you? And when I bring a coach tour here, occasionally I bring one during the summer, the first thing those people want to do is, where's the Earl Grey tea room? And is that open from tomorrow, from Saturday tomorrow?
Yes, the Earl Grey tea room is open every day that the gardens are open. It's open. So you can get your cup of Earl Grey tea in the home of Earl Grey as from tomorrow.
And can we look at the opening times, Robert? I mean, from tomorrow, Saturday the 12th of February, it's 10:30 until 4 o'clock here. And then it's on Sunday, 10:30 till 4. And then for each week until the full opening, starting the week after, it's Wednesday to Saturday, is it? Wednesday to Sunday.
Yeah, we're open Wednesday to Sunday, 10:30 till 4 until the end of March. And then from the end of March, once the clocks change, the time changes, we open then from 12 till 6 for the rest of the season.
Now, lots of people don't realise this, Robert, but I grow a herbaceous plant in the garden, Monarda, and there's a connection between that and Earl Grey tea.
Yes, Earl Grey tea was brewed for the second Earl Grey by Chinese Mandarin. It was, and then it was taken up by tailors of Piccadilly, who were the tea makers in London, and they started to make it, and it was supposedly made specially for the water here at Howick, in that it's a fairly hard water, and so it's a mixture of the Earl Grey tea, and bergamot is the plant that's in among it to give it that distinctive smell. And the Earl Greys were here from the second Earl Grey right through to the fifth Earl Grey. This was their home, and now it's Lord Howick who lives here. The fifth Earl Grey didn't have any sons, so the title moved away, but that's the connection with Howick. So the guy the man on top of the monument in Grey Street in Newcastle is the second Earl Grey, who lived here and was the Prime Minister in the 1830s.
That was a great Reform Act.
That was him, yes.
Yes. Sir. Lovely. And just a little mischievous question here. They must have made a fortune over the years here with the patent for Earl Grey tea.
Well, what happened with that was that they weren't very good businessmen, obviously, because there was no patent put on Earl Grey tea, so anybody can make Earl Grey tea, and the family didn't get a penny for it.
Robert, thanks very much.
Well, fancy that, Tom.
Yes, it's a fascinating place to visit, isn't it?
It is, yeah, but I was amazed just hearing the history, because I've been to, not the gardens before, but I visited there playing cricket, actually, so...
That's a beautiful
just
one.
Amazed to see how... I'm just looking through the leaflets here, and Robert was right, we only just nudged into it there. We hardly dented it, did we?
Oh, it's massive.
All the way down to the sea.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear just a little bit more than Tom.
Well, Robert was standing over the Howick Yellow, North Northumberland, Sansiai, whatever you care to call it, and it's just reminding how distinct it is, really, with the lighter foliage. And how do you pick it out in a crowd?
Well, as I say, you can't, once you've seen it once, you can really pick it out quite easily. It just appears as a yellowier foliage and yellower flower as well when you get to it. And as I say, they just appear here than there through the garden. There's no rhyme or reason as to why they appear there. A lot of the snowdrops here seed themselves, so you're going to get cross-pollinating between different ones. And occasionally you get these things that come up as the yellow ones.
And during the course of a year, do you particularly look for new discoveries at all, or it must be part of the interest in cultivating them?
It's another one of these things. If you had lots more time, then we probably would do that. I mean, we do get people who are experts on snowdrops, and they'll come round, and often they can tell us that it's not an ordinary one. They can't tell us exactly what it is, and odd times they will take some away and grow them on, and then they either get a name or whatever. There is one called Howick Starlight, which somebody made, but it wasn't, to me, a very impressive bulb when they brought it back. It was different, certainly, but it wasn't totally impressive.
And just to repeat, for people who feel they can get down on the hands and knees and they want to, without looking too suspicious amongst your snowdrops, they're looking for a different shape of leaf, a different colour of leaf. They're looking for a different type of formation of flower, some double, some semi-double, some larger than others. And generally speaking, those that are marked have a sort of greenish mark on the petals. But this one, of course, has a yellow mark.
Yeah, that's got the yellow mark on it, and so the ordinary Novalis has just got the green marks on it. And often you can look at bunches of snowdrops and you think that one's a different variety because it's bigger than the other ones, but often it can just be where it's grown. It's a much more vigorous one. Quite often we move snowdrops that are more vigorous than others, and you put them in along with the other ones, and they just do exactly the same. So the size of them is not enough to make them a distinct variety, for my mind anyway.
Well, I have to say, this is an absolutely stunning view here, and it's going to continue well beyond the end of February, I'd think, into March, maybe.
I would have thought so. Say we're a week later than normal seeing the snowdrops, so I would have thought that the middle of February, middle of March would be a good time when they're probably going to be passed by then. But they should make a good show for at least the next 3 weeks.
Excellent description, Tom. Yes, it was a sea of white and a fantastic sight. And if people get a chance to go along to catch the snowdrops, Robert reckoned a few weeks of show there for them. The hall opens this weekend, doesn't it?
Yes, it's open tomorrow from 10:30. The gardens, that is. The hall's not open these days, but that will be put right in years ahead, I guess. But the gardens are open from 10:30 until 4 o'clock tomorrow and Sunday. And, of course, the Earl Grey Tea Room is... It's super in there. The portraits on the wall and bits and pieces. And it just feels special having cream cakes and cream tea in there. It's just rather special. The grounds themselves are... You know, you can get lost in... And there's that lovely walk down to the sea where Robert described earlier in the interview, about a mile and a half. But what a bracing walk. Red squirrels around, different birds to be seen. Super place to be, really.
We've had a fantastic day, haven't we?
That was a dream this morning, James. We went to Howick Hall, and there's a group of people there. They've just developed the last couple of years a volunteer basis as well. They have many more volunteers on board now, helping in the garden and with other things. And they've got a good team there, and they're preparing for tomorrow, because from 10:30 tomorrow until 4, they're starting their snowdrop festival, and they're beautiful snowdrops to see. But the team there already today in the entrance... It's a beautiful, if it's a hut, it's a beautiful hut. It's a large, roomy hut with various things in. They were in there today when we came away, and they're all getting excited about meeting the public again. And I think they'll get a lot of people through. But we met head gardener, Robert Jameson, and he's full of enthusiasm for the job he's been doing there for well over 25 years. And he's really got good knowledge about everything that's there. So it's a pleasure to meet someone like that, go out to meet them. And I think Carl enjoyed himself as well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely great. Cheers, Tom.
Welcome.